Thank you for communion, Lord. Thank you for communion. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you for the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's pray before we get into the Word of God. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to bring the Word of God to your people one more time. God, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for the words you've given me to teach this morning. And Father God, we thank you for all those that are here, plus myself, to receive the word from you today. God, we say thank you, Jesus. 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 We give you the glory. We give you the praise. And Father, we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for blessing us to be able to commune together with the elements, with your blood and your body. But now we get to commune together over your word. And so, God, we say thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've been working, teaching on a series called God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit, and also what we need to do in order to get ready to be able to walk in the Spirit, the denying of ourselves. So our desire as children of God ought to be to daily what? Walk in the Spirit. To daily walk in the Spirit. All our actions should be in the Spirit. Everything we do should come from the Spirit man and not our flesh. And I was reading something, and it was talked about how that in the beginning when God created Adam and Eve, that before the fall, Adam really didn't consider his body. He walked and communed with God in the Spirit. And the body was something he probably never really thought about much because he was used to flowing in the Spirit. And so we should be able to should do that now because what? We've been born again. Christ has come and he has delivered us from the flesh. But we got to believe it. We got to believe it. It would be great if everything was automatic after we were born again, but it's not. It is not automatic. I remember when I first got born again and I was frustrated with myself. I actually was. I was frustrated with myself. I wanted to live right. I wanted to follow Christ. I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. But I was frustrated because I kept failing. I kept not being able to do it. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, why didn't you just make us robots so we automatically did it? You know, do what you want us to do. And but then the Lord let me know that he didn't want robots. We don't want to be no robots either. He don't want no robot wife. And Mary don't want no robot husband. Robots just do what you tell them to do. They don't love you. You can turn me down a little bit, Donna. They don't love you. They don't hug you. They don't care for you. They just do what you tell them to do. And so I learned later, you can turn back just a little bit. I learned later, I think that's good. I learned later that being a wanting to be a robot was not a good thing. One thing about robots too. Robots cannot receive love. They can't give love. They can't receive no love. And God made us in a way where we could receive his love. So everything's not automatically. We had a free will before we accepted Christ. Thank you, sweetie. And we have a free will now after we've accepted Christ. And walking in the Spirit is an everyday choice. It's an everyday choice. It really is. Walking in the Spirit means walking in obedience to who we are and all we possess in Christ. So walking in the Spirit means walking in obedience to who we are and all we possess in Christ. So looking at it that way, and we can't do this by surrender without surrendering to Holy Spirit. We got to surrender to Holy Spirit for this to happen. But if we look at that definition of walking in the Spirit, we realize that none of us are 100% every day walking in the Spirit. So it's the everyday thing we have to do, a choice we make every day. We should be walking more in the spirit today than we was last year this time. That's spiritual growth. That's spiritual growth. So what do we need to do in order to walk in the spirit? And I'm going to bring something back to our remembrance today that the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance. Something that I think we used to talk about, but we don't talk about so much now that we talk about our identity in Christ and being sons and daughters of the Lord and what we have in Christ, and which that's good. Sometimes we latch on to one thing and we leave off something we shouldn't have left off, when really they both should work together. They both should work together. So we need to become servants by denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following Jesus. We don't hear too much about becoming servants now. But we ought to what? Become servants. We ought to become servants what? By denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following Jesus. The second thing we need to know in order to walk in the Spirit is we need to renew our minds by meditating on the scriptures until we see ourselves dead to the flesh and alive in the spirit. Alive in the spirit. Because someone said that it's so true. Most of our Christian walk is learning and renewing our minds to what we have in Christ and believing it so that we can actually what? Be it and be what we possess. Possess what we are, if you put it that way. We have it, but we're not always in possession of it. This iPhone is mine. I'll lay it right there. It's mine, but it's laying there. While it's laying there, I'm not in possession of it. Somebody could pick it up. I might need to do something, and I can't do it. But in order to use it, and for it to do me any good, I got to take possession. I got to take possession. It's still mine while it was laying there. But when I pick it up, I take possession. Many things in the hours through the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, and it's in our spirit man, but we need to take possession. We need to take possession. So let's talk about servant spirit, since we need to renew our minds to the fact that we need to become servants. Paul talked about, and it's something that I noticed when I was studying this lesson that I hadn't noticed before. Even though Paul was free, he made himself a servant by choice. If you read Romans 1:1, Paul called himself the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. By choice, he made himself a servant. If you go to Philippians, the third chapter of Philippians, the 7th through the 11th verse, you find that he denied everything he ever was to follow Christ. He denied everything he ever was to follow Christ. Galatians 1:10. Let's go and look at that. We will read that. Let's look at Galatians 1:10. Paul was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if he's called himself an apostle, he would say he was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he also called himself a servant. Galatians 1:10 says this, and we're teaching on walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." If I seek to please men, Paul said, I should not be the servant of Christ. If we seek to please ourselves or others, we are not the servants of Christ. And we're actually called to be servants. We're called to be servants. Not only did Paul call himself a servant of Jesus Christ, but James in James 1 called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Peter in 2 Peter 1:1, he called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Peter said he was not only a, no, I think it was James, one of them said, not only they called themselves a servant of Jesus Christ, but he said, I'm a servant of God and of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jude also, in Jude 1:1, he called himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. These apostles knew their place as sons. Being a servant does not mean you're still not a son or a daughter. You are still a son or a daughter, but you also are a servant. Son and daughter are automatic when you're born again. You're automatically a son or daughter of the Most High God, Father God. You don't have to make yourself or do anything to become a son. You are a son. But servant is a choice. We have to choose to be servants. And it's interesting, if you read the book of Acts, you'll find that the early church never called themselves Christians. They were first called Christians in Antioch. They never called themselves Christians, but they called themselves servants of Jesus Christ. They called themselves sons and daughters, because they were sons and daughters, but they were also servants. But like I said, we are servants by choice. We are servants by choice. We are sons and daughters by birth. Because what? We were born into the kingdom of God. So we're sons and daughters by birth. Servants don't do their own will. Servants don't do their own will. They do the will of their master or the one who sent them. Denying self, picking up our cross, and following Jesus is actually becoming a servant of Christ by choice. By choice. By choice. We cannot walk in the Spirit without denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following Jesus by choice. I choose to serve Christ by choice. I choose, is she okay? I choose to be a servant by choice. By choice. We have to choose to serve. We have to choose to serve. Just like in a church, when you become a part of a congregation, a part of a family, you choose to serve. You choose to serve. You should have it in your heart to serve. And when we think about all that Christ did for us, we ought to freely choose to be a servant. Servants are surrendered to the one who sent them. You can't therefore walk in the Spirit without being surrendered unto the Spirit. Another thing about being a servant, servants are humble. You can't walk in the Spirit without humility and obedience to our God, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Humility. Let's look at John 12, 26. The Gospel of John 12, 26. Walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit had to remind me about becoming a servant. John 12, 26 says this, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be." Okay? Jesus put in following him. All in the same verse here. We want to serve him and follow him and be where he is. There shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It's an honor to serve. We talk a lot about the happy Veterans Day. Thank you for your service. So just like we honor our veterans and we honor them for their service, when we serve Christ, the Father honors us. He honors us for our service. He honors us. So it's an honor to serve. It's an honor to serve. John 13, 16 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." John 13, 16. So we're the servants, but we're not greater than our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sent. Remember I told y'all last week, every born-again believer is sent. God ain't saved nobody to sit down on the couch and do nothing and be lazy. Look, every one of us are sent. Whether we do all this stuff about what's my calling, what's my purpose,
You've been sent. You've been sent to serve. That's the first thing. You've been sent to be a servant. And what do you serve? You serve right where you are. I like what Mary said about the people in the car that were getting close to her or cutting off with her neighbor. And so she was supposed to pray for her neighbor. Look, so we're supposed to serve wherever we are, whatever people are around us, where we work, we have people in our neighborhood. We ought to serve. We ought to be servant. But nowadays, people want to be served, but not servant. We want others to serve us, but we don't want to serve. But God wants us to have what? A servant heart. Even if you're, and we're kings and we're priests and we're sons and we're daughters of the Most High God, but our heart should be one of servant, where we humble ourselves, we deny ourselves, and we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In whatever capacity we find our hands able to do that, we're servants. When we are denying ourselves and becoming servants, we are walking in the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit brings people to our mind and brings people across our paths to pray for, to do for, and we honor that by serving, we are walking in the Spirit. The greatest servant I know walked in the Spirit. His name was Jesus Christ. And he did that by serving. It's an honor to serve. It's an honor to serve. We're in the army of the Lord. So it's an honor for us to serve him. It's an honor to serve. In John 15, 15, Jesus said this to the disciples. John 15, 15. And I'm going to read the King James Version. No longer do I call you servants. Now, Jesus didn't call them servants. He said, no longer call you servants. But they still were servants, but he wasn't calling them. He was adding something to that relationship. He said, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Even though Christ is our friend, we are still his servants. We are still his servants. We don't get so friendly with him, we don't have to serve no more. Now that don't happen. We are still servants. We are still servants. We will not be judged by our friendship to Jesus. We will not be judged by our sonship. Those are automatic. We will not be judged by any of that. But we'll be judged by how we served and how we worked. How we served and how we worked. And that's in Matthew 25, 21 through 23. It's a parable about the good and faithful servants. They were obedient to serve Christ and do what the master told them to do. And 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15 talks about how our works will be judged. How our works will be judged. And that lets us know even though your works are burned up, they become no good because you didn't. You didn't obey Christ and do like you're supposed to, but that person will be saved, even though their works are burnt up. So we're not going to be judged by how friendly we are to Jesus or by being a son or a daughter, but how we served and how our works are. Let's look at Jesus, the servant of the Father. Let's look at Jesus. Philippians 2, 7, 8 and 9. Jesus, the servant of the Father. I'm not going to read the sixth verse, but the sixth verse is kind of introduced to the seventh. And he's talking about Jesus. And so I'm going to read it this way. Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Even though he was the Son of God, took the form of a servant and obeyed his Father. He set the example. He took the form of a servant and obeyed his Father. Why is it that we have a hard time wanting to serve anymore? We just don't want to serve anymore for some reason, but we're called to be servants. We're called to be servants. Because Jesus came, he obeyed the Father, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Philippians 2:8 says, and And it's still talking about Jesus. And Jesus, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Maybe we have a problem with being a servant because a servant has to humble themselves and become obedient. Now, if you're going to be a good servant, you got to obey. You got to be obedient if you're going to be a good servant. And you cannot walk in the Spirit without humbling yourself and being obedient, surrendering. I thought about Jesus, how he just surrendered to the will of the Father. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And he was in the flesh. And the Bible says he had like temptations like us. Now, I mean, the Bible don't say so, but probably, sometimes he wanted to do what he wanted to do. Probably, because he was in flesh like we are. But he humbled himself and obeyed the Father's will. And we even have the account of him in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified. And he went and prayed three times. He prayed three times because his body was fighting against the cross. His will was to do the Father's will, but he was in that flesh. He had to deny his flesh just like we do. Now, the Bible would not be true if Jesus had to deny his flesh like we have to deny ours. He just did a good job of it. A very good job. He's our role model, our example. Then what did Jesus do? He took up his cross, humbled himself, and he was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He was a servant. And Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. We do the serving in humility, and God does the exalting. As servants, we do not exalt ourselves. We deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and we follow Jesus. And when we do that, we're what? We're walking in the Spirit. Because where are we getting our marching orders from? From Jesus, Holy Spirit. Jesus, through Holy Spirit, is giving us our orders. So as long as we do that, we what? We're walking in the Spirit. When we're disobedient, what are we not doing? We're not walking in the Spirit. When we disobey what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, when we disobey what God puts in our heart, then we are no longer walking in the Spirit. We're walking in our own flesh, our own desires, and what we want. We've all done it. We've all have done it. And when we do it, that's a time to repent and go back the way we're supposed to be going. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. Walking in the Spirit. Some more. Help us walk in the Spirit. Galatians 2:20. And this is Paul talking. Paul says this in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. When Christ was crucified on the cross, we were crucified with him. Every believer can identify with being crucified on the cross with Christ because the Word of God says we can. And if we've been crucified with Christ, then we can say like Paul, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. He lives in me. We got to know that. We got to believe it. You got to know that if you're born again, Christ lives in you. You've been crucified with Christ. What was crucified on the cross? Christ's flesh was crucified, wasn't it? The flesh was crucified. His flesh was crucified. If his flesh was crucified, our flesh was crucified because we were up there with him. We were crucified with Christ on the cross. And so now it's no longer us that live, but Christ lives in us. That's so good. That's so great. And it's so true. Because the word of God says it's true. Not because I say it's true, because the word of God says it's true. But know this. This is in proportion to how much we are surrendered to his spirit in us. How much of Christ that lives in us and through us is proportion to how much we are surrendered to his spirit living in us. If you are surrendered 50%, then you only what? You're only living in Christ, is only living through you 50%. That means you're only walking in the spirit 50%. If it's 60% that you are surrendered to him, then 60% of you are walking in the spirit, because 60% of Christ is living through you. And it's not, has anything to do with the word, has nothing to do with Christ, has nothing to do with the spirit of God in you. It has all to do with us surrendering. Decided we're going to surrender and be a servant to the Most High God. We're going to be obedient and walk with him as a servant. Servants humble themselves. Servants are obedient. Servants surrender. Servants don't argue with the master. Because sometimes we argue with God, don't we? I have. God, why do you ask me to do this? Why this, God? Why that, God? But servants are obedient. Servants are obedient. Paul had given up everything totally, and surrendered to God. And I'm quite sure, like I said before, that Paul didn't do it perfectly. But Paul's focus on his spiritual truth, Paul focused on the spiritual truths and reality that were his. He didn't focus on, because what did he say in Philippians? I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm pressing forward to those things which are before me. That mistake I made yesterday, I'm not going to focus on it. I'm not going to focus on it. I'm going to focus on moving ahead with Christ. I'm going to focus on today. I'm going to focus on being the servant I need to be today. Lord, how can I serve you best today? How can I serve you where I am? How can I serve you in my home? How can I serve you as being a pastor? How can I serve you as being a husband or a wife? How can I serve you as being a father or a mother? How can I serve you where I am, God? How can I bring you glory in serving you where I am right now? I will humble myself and be obedient. Might be something I don't want to do. Might be something I'm not used to doing. It might be something I don't even think I can do. Thank you, Jesus. But God, because you called me to be a servant in this area, then I will humble myself and become obedient and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We are still living in the flesh, but we are to live by the faith of Jesus, the Son of God. And according to Romans 12:3, we all have a measure of faith. We all have faith because God has given us faith. Never say, I don't have faith. Never say that. Because the Bible says we've been given a measure of faith. You might be able to say, Lord, I don't know how to walk in this faith I have. I don't know how to utilize this faith that I have. God, help my faith to become stronger. But we all have been given a measure of faith. Galatians 5:16 says this. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And lust just means desire. If we walk in the spirit, we shall not fulfill the desires of our flesh, because the desires of our flesh is contrary to the will of God. Walking in the flesh is contrary to walking in the spirit. Walking in the flesh is contrary to obeying Christ. Walking in the flesh is contrary to being a servant. Flesh don't want to serve nobody. We have to deny flesh and become servants anyway. As you, the Passion Translation says this for that verse, Galatians 5:16. As you yield freely and fully to the life and power of the Holy Spirit, dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, You will abandon the cravings of your self-life. As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. That is the only way to do it. If we do it through the Holy Spirit. I mean, I've done this with having a diet. I might have done it with other things too. You know how you mean you go on a diet? You just deny yourself. You just suffer. I ain't gonna eat this. You want it some kind of bad, but you just say, I ain't gonna eat it. I ain't gonna drink this. I'm not gonna do this. And all your strength you try to muster up not to do it. And it works for a little while. But after a while, we back drinking whatever we weren't supposed to be drinking, eating what we ain't supposed to be eating. Because our own flesh, we do it on our own strength. Our own strength can't do it. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we can deny that flesh and overcome it through the Spirit so that we can what? Serve, become servants. Become servants. So as we yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, we will abandon the cravings of our self-life, those cravings of the flesh. Galatians 5:25 says this. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, if you're born again, then there's nothing. If you're born again, you're actually living in the Spirit. The Word of God tells us that. I'm going to get to that. We do live in the Spirit because we are born of the Spirit. So we live in the Spirit. So the thing is, we need to walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit because we're born again. We've been born of the Spirit. So now we need to walk in the Spirit. The life of God is in us. We just have to move and allow our actions to be from His life in us. We just have to move and allow the actions that we do come from Christ in us. Like Mary said about praying for her neighbor in the car. That was being obedient and walking in who Christ is in her. Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If we're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. We don't always do it right. We make mistakes, but there's still no condemnation because we're in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. That means God is not condemning us. Christ is not condemning us. I mean, we'll condemn our own selves because our own conscience will condemn us. But Christ and the Father does not condemn us. Let's go to Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, unless I tell you otherwise. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Y'all hear that? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law and sin of sin and death. We have been made free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2, we've been made free from the law of sin and death. How? By the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. A law is something that's true for everyone, no matter who you are. The law of gravity is the law of gravity. I heard somebody say this. The law of gravity is the law of gravity. You put a Christian on the top of this building and an unsaved person on top of this building and let them push them off, both are going to fall. And they said the Christian might, after they fall, if they die, they might go back up to be with Jesus, but they're both going to fall. So the law, a law is a law. And everybody is subject to that law. It's true for everybody. Everyone is subject to the law of sin and death except believers in Christ, because we operate under what? A new law, the law of life in Christ. We're not subject anymore to the law of sin and death because we're in Christ. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus supersedes the law of sin and death. Aren't you glad about that? It supersedes that law. It supersedes that law. So we're not subject to the law of sin and death. We're only subject the law of life in Christ Jesus. Going subject to that law. So knowing that, okay, let's do Romans 8:5. Let's do Romans 8:5. We're not subject to the law of sin and death anymore. We're subject to the law of life in Christ. Life works in us and not death. Life works in us and not death. Anything outside of Christ is death. It might look good, it might sound good, but it's death. It might be something we've grown used to, but if it's not in Christ, it's death. And we don't realize that. We think certain things are normal. And we don't realize they're normal in this life, in this world, but they bring death and not life. Romans 8:5 says this, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So it's all about focus. It's all about focus. Are you living? Is your focus on the flesh and pleasing the flesh? Or is your focus on the Spirit and pleasing the Lord? Romans 8:6, "For the carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want to read from the Passion Translation, Romans 8:5-8. And this clears up a whole lot for us. Those who, 8:5, Passion Translation. "Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves." Sounds like you're not walking as a servant if you're walking in the flesh. "But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual reality." If you're a servant and you have surrendered to the Holy Spirit, you surrendered everything to Him so you can walk in the Spirit, then you're not motivated by your flesh. You're not pursuing things that's going to benefit your flesh, but you are moving by the impulses of the Holy Spirit and you are motivated to pursue spiritual reality. Romans 8:6 says, "For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace." Next verse. "In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to His directions because it cannot." Why? In the King James Version, it says, you know, if you're walking in the flesh, you can't please God. The flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:8, "But no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh." Controlled by the flesh. And let's go to Romans 8:9. I like this. "But," and I'll read from the King James Version, "but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." Remember what I told you before? You know, we're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. But that don't mean you're always walking in the Spirit. We are not in the, if you're born again, you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. Because what? The Spirit of God dwells in you. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. So since we know now that we're not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in us. So we have the Spirit on the inside of us. We're in the Spirit. When the Bible talks about being in the Spirit, know if you're born again, you're in the Spirit. But our thing is becoming servants of what? We can walk in the Spirit. Our actions come from our spirit. Our thoughts come from our spirits. Everything comes from the Spirit man. Because what? We're in the Spirit. We're in the Spirit. And that's why we have to what? Deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Jesus, surrender to, and that's surrender. When you do that, you're surrendering to the Holy Spirit. If you do that, you are surrendering to the Holy Spirit. So that He is through Him that we're able to walk in the Spirit. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Let's look at Galatians 5:22 and 23. I'm just going to read Galatians 5:24 though. And I'm getting ready to conclude. Galatians 5:22 and 23 talks about the fruits of the spirit. And we all know what the fruits of the spirit are. I'm not going to name them. You can go there and read them, read it and refresh yourself. But it says in the 23rd verse of Galatians 5 that against such there is no law. Excuse me, y'all. Tickle in my throat. Against such there is no law. Verse 25. No, 24. Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. I feel like I got a cough. I'm trying not to cough. I don't want to cough in y'all. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So how the flesh how have we crucified the flesh? This is past tense. If we Christ, we have crucified the flesh. So how was the flesh crucified on the cross with Christ? We already read that. Our flesh was crucified on the flesh on the cross with Christ. How did that flesh stay crucified? By denying yourself? Denying the flesh what it wants? And the power of the Holy Spirit is there to help with that. Okay. Let's get ready to close out walking in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We do live in the Spirit, so let us walk in the Spirit. I've already given you that verse that we live in the Spirit. And since we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. By what? Becoming servants. Becoming servants. Knowing that I'm a daughter or you a son, but I choose to be a servant. I choose to serve Christ. I choose to obey him. I choose to follow him. I choose to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, Paul said this, though he was crucified in weakness, talking about Jesus, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. We live by the power of God. We live by the power of God. We deny our flesh by the power of God. We surrender to Holy Spirit by the power of God. We have, all of us have the power of God that has been given to us. Do everything that God has told us or looks for us to do. And it's for our benefit that we do that. It's for our benefit. We have grace. And grace is the power of God. We have grace. We have grace. And then Paul said, God forbid, in Galatians 6:14, that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have nothing to boast about except the cross of Jesus. It's not our smarts, our wits, or our background, or our money, or how we look, or any of those things. But it's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, by the cross of Jesus Christ, the world has been crucified to me, and I have been crucified to the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just have to believe that and receive it. Let's stand. We just have to believe that and receive it. In order to walk in the Spirit, we just have to believe that and receive it. And it's the will of God that we walk in the Spirit. It's his will that we operate every day in his Spirit. We can only please him if we do that, because our flesh cannot please him. But if we walk in the Spirit every day, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can please the Lord. We can please the Lord. We can please the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord 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 Jesus. Thank you for grace, Lord.
Thank you for grace. Thank you for grace. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Everything we're enjoying, everything we're walking in, everything we have is because Jesus, you went to the cross for us. You paid the price for everything that we enjoy and we have now. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that at the cross we were crucified with Christ. We thank you that we were dead with him in the grave. And then when you rose again, Jesus, we rose with you. And now we can walk in resurrection life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit, to choose to be servants of Christ, to serve you wherever we are, to allow you to work through us wherever we are. And God, we thank you that we are sons, we are daughters, we are kings, we are priests, but we also are called to serve. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What a privilege. What an honor to be a servant of yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And we magnify your name. Help us be obedient, surrendered servants that walk in the Spirit without complaining, without quenching or grieving the Spirit. We talked about those last week. But help us to walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, walking in the newness of life. You've given us a new life, and you want us to walk in that new life. We thank you for grace to walk in the new life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, give you praise. We magnify your name. We say thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to dismiss, but there's nothing that claims our attention. Anybody got anything on Zoom? Okay. I just want to say this. I did put last week's message on the website. And remember the one I didn't record? I actually went and preached it and recorded it at home. And I put it on the website. So we have all the lessons of God the Holy Spirit on the website. And this one should be up there by next week. So I thank all of you for coming. Any comments or anybody got anything they want to, any testimonies, anything you want to say before we close? Yes, Miss Lonnie, what you want to say? You can come up if you want to. That's fine. Oh, thank you. I received that hug. I sure do. Anybody else got anything else they want to say or any prayer requests before we close? Yeah. No, it's not easy. I will. Amen, amen, amen. I remember taking care of my mama and my daddy when they was older. They passed the going to be the Lord now. But it is not always easy. One day they told me, they called me. My dad was in the rest home. The lady called me one day. She said, "You need to come out here." Said Mr. Lenz just refused to go to therapy. And he was having a fit. So I went out there. I said, "Daddy," I said, "they say you don't want to," it was on a Sunday. I said, "Why you don't want to go to service? They all devils. You ain't supposed to go to therapy on Sunday." I said, "Daddy, did you go to church today?" I had been trying to get him to go to church, so he didn't go. I said, "You go to church?" "No." I said, "Well, you ain't go to church. If you ain't go to church, you can go to therapy." But he got all right. So then he started going to church, though. I would go out there in the morning before I went to my service. And I push him around and we go to church. And I told him, I said, "When I'm not here, get that address and take him out of the service." So he started going to church then. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, it makes you laugh, don't it? Because it's humorous. And you have to laugh because laughing is good for you. You don't get mad, you don't get upset, you just laugh. Amen. Anything else? We're going to pray for you and believe God that He's already given you what you need, and He's going to give you the grace to just bring it out of you. And you're going to be surprised at what comes out of you at certain times, which you probably already are. But it's going to be brought out of you by the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be the right thing for the right time, for the right person, and the right purpose. Amen. 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 And I started giving you a word, so I might as well finish because now it's stirring up a little stuff in me. God will call you for the job you're doing. He's put you there, He called you there, and He has a reason for having you there. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but God is doing great things through you where you are. He's doing great things through you where you are. And we praise God for that. Sometimes we see what the impact we have made on people's lives while we're living. And sometimes we're making an impact that's not even seen to us while we're living, but it's manifested when we're gone. So, amen, amen. Anything else? Let's be dismissed by